And children, here's today's first question. Listen carefully.
Talk over this bit. It's the pop quiz. Yay! I think this one's slightly easier than the challenge. I'll try not to make it too cranky, but I will give it a go. I'll give all of this my best shot. Okay, so what you do is you put the microphone here and you turn that on, and then you get this and you put that there, and then you bring the caller over here. Here you go. Who is it?
Justin.
Justin.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you, Libby?
Very good, thank you. That's lovely of you to call. Did you hear on the news that Collingwood defeated Carlton? I can't tell you enough times.
Well, I don't go for either team, so that doesn't bother me because Geelong is my team.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's just always nice when Collingwood beat Carlton, don't you think?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone will be able to catch Fremantle on the top.
Let me have a look. No, they're doing really well. They beat Port Adelaide today.
Yeah, my second team won as well too, Brisbane.
Yeah, they did. Beat the West Coast Eagles, which is always a good thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know you're in Perth. You're very parochial, but it's nice when you get beaten.
Well, I'm actually in Frankston in Victoria.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You survived it then?
Yeah. No, I used to live in Queensland anyway, so I've come down here to the colder weather.
Ah, yes. Although the weather seems to have shifted slightly. We have a theory about that at home, that Melbourne's got Sydney's weather. Sydney's not got Queensland's weather, and maybe Queensland should move to Bali.
Oh, definitely. Or even Darwin.
Oh, that would be handy. Shall we get on with it? Because otherwise we'll drive everybody nuts.
Yes, and this is actually the first time I've actually been first on your pop quiz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder how long you'll last. Okay. Here we go. In Pulp Fiction, who played Marcellus Wallace's wife?
Oh, man. I've seen this movie so many times. I'm just gonna have a stab. I'm gonna have a stab and say Meryl Streep.
No, she wasn't in Pulp Fiction.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, so yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm almost 40 anyway, so it's been quite a while.
Geez, you're getting on. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. Well, no, not really, because I'm playing two different sports.
What sports?
Pickleball and golf.
You know what Bob Hope said about golf?
What's that?
He said it was a good walk spoiled.
Yeah. And just before I go, my best Darryl Braithwaite song would have to be Horses.
Oh, you love Horses?
Yes.
Let's see if we can fit it in before the top of the hour. Lovely to meet you, Justin.
Thank you.
All right, let's keep going. Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
I am waiting to see if you know the answer to this. In Pulp Fiction, who played Marcellus Wallace's wife?
Uma Thurman.
Correct. Ding. It was Uma Thurman. Excellent. Okay, question number two. Which classic album from 1968 had these three songs on it? Are you listening?
Yep.
Here we go. Which classic album from 1968 had these three songs on it? Well, I've got no idea, but you might know.
The middle one sounds familiar, but I think it might be a Rolling Stones album.
Mm-mm. It's not. Actually, I could give you a hint, but I can't. I could give you a hint, but I cannot give you a hint.
Thanks.
Okay. Sorry about that. Let's see if I can do this with my glasses on.
Trevor.
Your turn to talk. Trevor?
Oh, sorry. Your voice faded as my name was called.
I did it? That was because I went off the microphone. But is it loud enough now? Because someone sent a message and said I was fading away, which is so not me.
Well, you did for just that crucial instant.
When
now,
I said...
I'm just barely bringing myself to forgive you for the Carlton Collingwood comment.
Oh, did I mention that Collingwood beat Carlton by quite a few points, at least 21 points?
Stop it.
Why?
Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, they're not my team. My team are the Swans, but they're in memory of my late mother.
Oh.
Who was a real Carlton fanatic. They're my second team.
Well, that is very sweet, but kind of cruel to your mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a little, or first of all, my mind is really boggling at the thought of Meryl Streep in the arms of John Travolta in the Rock Tango.
It was a Meryl Streep.
No, I know. As I say, my mind is boggling at that thought.
Yes, I know. Me too.
I have a bit of a question to you. In your notorious past, is L, not Libby, but L, have an interaction with other persona persons, such as Norman Gunston, Dame Edna, Sir Les, Auntie Jack, etc., etc.?
Did I ever, as L McFeast, interact
with any of those people or such other created personas?
Trevor, they were much older than me. Older. So, no, is the answer. I didn't.
They were around in your day. Active in your day.
Actually, you're probably right. Well, I don't think that Gary McDonald was performing Norman Gunston at that time.
No.
As for Barry Humphries being Dame Edna, don't think so. Can't remember. I can't remember a lot of it.
You would remember, right? You would remember one way or the other. So
not necessarily. Not necessarily, but I do remember Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
So that was good. Rowan Atkinson.
As Mr. Bean.
As Mr. Bean, yes. Mm. And I think I might have done an interview with Michael Parkinson or Clive Robertson or Michael Parkinson or maybe both.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper. I'm just trying to think of people who were characters.
Yeah.
Mr. Blobby.
Yes. Well, nobody interviews Vincent Fournier, always just Alice Cooper.
Correct. Now, I'm going to get into trouble
if we ramble on, which I'm guilty of, because... Well,
have you got a reputation?
1968, and as sure as heck ain't the Beatles.
You want me to play it again so you can hear
it's rocky. It's rocky enough, but it just isn't. It just isn't the style or anything of the Stones. And you said something about I can't. So I'll go...
No, nothing to do with that. And don't you dare. Don't you dare. Let me play it for you again.
I do not for one think that the problem was...
No, that's not it. That's the wrong one. Let me just go back. It's this. So this is very interesting. On the text, they know. Alan in Cumnock knows. Who else knows? Yep. Wallace knows, Golden Beach. Yep. Gary in Brisbane knows. And Daryl Braithwaite mentioned him.
I only caught the very tail end of your interview with Daryl. And incidentally, can you play How's That at some stage?
I did play How's That at the beginning of that hour, so you'll have to go online and listen on the ABC Listen app.
Yeah. Now, the question, and
Answer the question, Trev.
Apologies for the time wasting.
Guilty
as charged, Your Worship. But thank you for this last opportunity for a chat with you. And I have on shoulders for someone if the band is Led Zeppelin.
No, it's not Led Zeppelin. Sorry. Okay. Andrew, hello.
Andrew from Smithton.
Andrew from Smithton in Tasmania. How cold
G'day,
is it tonight?
Connor, how are you going?
Very well, thank you. Do you know the answer to this question?
Yeah, I do.
Go on, tell me.
No, it's Electric Ladyland.
Very good. Who played that?
Jimi Hendrix, of course.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful album. I love it.
Oh, I think I need to listen to it.
Yeah, I need to listen to it more again.
Yeah.
Because I love him.
I think we all need to listen to a bit of Jimi Hendrix.
Look, I'm a 1980 model, and I grew up with Black Sabbath and Jimi Hendrix and Dire Straits. So I'm a 46-year-old man now.
Are you okay? Are you coping with that?
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Great.
Good age.
It's really bloody nice to get old, and Mum never thought I'd make it to 21.
That's what happens when you take your troublesome son and lock him in a room for another 25 years. He comes out at 46 playing the quiz.
That's it. I've got my own house and I've got a few businesses going, and I'm having a crack at life.
Excellent. Are you ready for your next question?
Certainly am.
Which French artist became so fascinated by Mont Saint-Victoire near his hometown of Aix-en-Provence, that he painted it more than 60 times? He's a French artist. He grew up in Aix-en-Provence and he painted it. I painted Mont Saint-Victoire more than 60 times.
French artist.
That's the best clue, isn't it?
I know. It's a good clue, but I'm going to have to bow out on that because...
Oh, come on.
Oh, well, I'll have a go, but I'll have a crack, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. And give it to someone else. I won a magnet last night, so I'm feeling magnanimous.
All right. You're feeling magnanimous because of your magnet. All right, I shall pass you on. Are you ready?
Yeah, roger that.
Nice to chat.
I'm going to listen as well.
Okay. Ian?
Yes?
Where's Warimba?
It's between Abbotsford and Five Dock in Sydney.
Ah, I didn't even know there was an Abbotsford in Sydney.
Yeah. More salubrious than I believe the one in Melbourne.
Well, the one in Melbourne is next to Collingwood, who defeated Carlton tonight, did I tell you, by quite a few.
Yes.
Have I mentioned that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so
glad. Now, I knew Daryl from Randwick Boys High when he went there.
Which Boys High?
Randwick Boys High.
Ah!
When he was living in Fuji.
Right.
Yes. He was very good then.
As a singer?
Yeah.
Mm.
But some people said his brother was a better singer, but not the showman.
Oh, how interesting. Glenn.
Yeah.
The twin brother.
Yeah, the twin.
I wonder what it's like being talked about on the radio like this, you know, like Glenn's probably had...
At our age, he's most probably thinking of going to bed.
Just reading a little note to me. Oh, yeah. Right, okay. It's me having to stay on the microphone because what I do is... You know when you become a nearly middle-aged lady and you put your glasses on, you have to put your glasses on to read the blurry screen. And then I go, what does that actually say? And then I lean across and anyway, enough of the rambling. Do you know the answer to this question?
Is it Claude Monet?
No, it's not Monet. Okay. So let's just cross Monet off the list. I'll tell you who knows.
Nick will not have fun.
Ed in Perth knows who it is, but I'm going to say Karen, who is in... Altona Meadows. Good evening to you, Karen.
Hello.
Lovely to speak to you. We've knocked Monet off. And who did Trevor say? I can't remember who else they said. They said, I can't remember. But anyway, we know it's not Monet. We know we're looking for the name of a French artist. We know that he grew up in Aix-en-Provence and that he was you know, repetitive. He was stuck on painting Mont Saint-Victoire. Do you know which artist it was?
Pearl Cézanne.
Yes, it was. It was Cézanne.
Yeah, only another couple.
Very good. All right, are you ready for your next question?
Thank you.
Which 1984 film is this scene from?
I do not for one think that the problem was that the band was down. I think that the problem may have been that there was a Stonehenge monument on the stage that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf. All right? That tended to understate the hugeness of the object.
I really think you're just making a much too big a thing out of it.
Making a big thing out of it would have been a good idea.
Do you know what film that is?
I have got it. I'm not a film goer.
No.
Sorry, I can only just pick one out of the blue. I'll say, I know that Jurassic Park was made a few times. I'll just say that.
Well, I can tell you, without this even being a clue, that the film, this film, is the furthest from Jurassic Park that you could ever get. It is 12 dinosaurs between this film and Jurassic Park, even though there is a connection. I guess some would say that they represent dinosaurs of a different type, but...
Is it Back to the Future?
No. Nah, that was last night. Yes, bobsled knows who it is. Okay, I have to move on, Karen. Lovely meeting you. Hey, Eric, it's you again.
Hi, Libby. Yeah, it's this is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, it is. This is Spinal Tap. I don't even have
and, I'm pretty sure it's Samuel Langhorne Clemens, otherwise known as Mark Twain, who said golf is a walk sport. Golf is a spoiled walk. Yeah.
I thought it was Bob Hope that said it, but maybe Bob.
No, Bob Hope loved golf. He played a lot of it.
Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. You tell me something while I look it up on my phone. Who said golf is a good? Maybe you. No. Bella's on the phone.
When you were Elle McPheast, Norman Gunson came back. I mean, Gary McDonald came back. He did Norman Gunson '93, and then he had his nervous breakdown. So that was about the same time you were doing Elle, but you didn't interact with him, no.
No, because he wasn't. Well, I'll tell you, though, Effie and I are good mates. I think Effie and Elle got together, and I did actually meet the real Elle McPherson.
Right.
But we were both too scared to speak to each other. Can we get on with the quiz?
Yeah, sure.
Name one of the two female lead singers in the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, Mama Cass.
Yeah.
Who else would there be? Mama Cass. They're called Mama. So what are we, Mama? Oh, geez. I mean, I was born in 1968. I'm into that sort of music. I was born in 1968, but trying to think.
Hey, just while you're thinking.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good song.
What a good song. And then all of a sudden it kicks in.
All the leaves are brown.
Oh.
And the sky is grey.
And the sky is grey.
I've been for a while.
So there's a remake of this.
Yeah.
You know, I've got Zeds. I live with Generation Z.
Who did the remake?
I can't tell you, but Zed would be able to tell me, but hopefully she's gone to bed.
Must in a question coming up. This song, California Dreaming Girl,
yeah.
I mean, Libby, sorry, yeah. Was at the end of the credits, the end credits of he died with a falafel in his hand.
Oh.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Good so, bass line, and the bass player is really good, so I don't know who it is. But.
Can you name two of the female lead singers? You said Mama Cass. Who's the other one?
Mama Jean.
No, it's not a mama.
Not Mama Jean.
No.
So anyway, bye.
Bye. Terry. Terry, I know it's a long way to WA. It just took me that long to get you up on the thing.
Hi, Libby.
Hi. We're just listening to this song and enjoying it.
Great song,
California Dreaming, Mamas and the Papas. We know that Mama Cass, her real name was Cass Elliott, actually. But who was another female lead singer?
It was Michelle Phillips.
It was Michelle Phillips. Do you want to hear a little bit more of this? Or?
Hey, it's not too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
they had the harmonies. I think that's what we loved about it so much. It was just this, the wall of sound.
Golden era of music.
Yeah.
Golden era. The late 60s to about 1972, 73, you know, albums like Tapestry from Carole King and Blue by Joni Mitchell. Oh, brilliant albums.
But I think it was also that wall of sound with the harmonies, which was Phil Spector. Didn't he turn out to be a dirty dog? But gee, he was good as a music producer.
Oh, great. Yeah, for sure. Wonderful. Wonderful time to be alive.
We're lucky.
We are. It's pretty good now as well. Yeah, kids' music.
Yeah.
I should say my grandchildren's music now.
Have you got Zed grandchildren or?
Well, I've got five grandchildren under the age of 10, so I'm not sure what that makes them. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
My own children are 38 and 40.
Oh, millennials, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. All right, let's have a little sing-along. When the music cuts out, I need you to sing the next couple of lines for me, okay?
Okay.
By the way, this is Weekend Nightlife. My name is Libby Gore. I'm just guest hosting for Suzanne Hill while she takes a little break, and I'm doing my best with the quiz. It's not my first hand, but, you know, trying my best. And you need to sing along with the end of this. Are you ready? Here we go.
Sure thing, Libby. Because there's nothing you can teach me. They try to make me go to rehab, but I said no, no, no. Wow!
Very good. Do you know the next line?
No.
Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, you'll...
Go, go, go. I'm
That'll
just guessing
do.
Now.
That'll do. You've done a good job. I like it. Let me play it for you.
They try to make me go to rehab, but I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black.
That is Amy Winehouse from 2006. Great song, tragic loss.
And I think it's been about 9 years since we lost her, 2017, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
It's flown by, gosh.
Yeah, and we watched it. We watched it happen in real time. It was happening in plain sight. It was like Anna Nicole Smith, actually. We watched these people just self-destruct in plain sight and, in fact, kind of cannibalized them because we put – anyway, it's interesting horrible, celebrity. Yeah. Very interesting concept.
Oh, yeah.
Which three Coen brothers films did both John Goodman and John Turturro appear in? So there were three Coen brothers films that both John Goodman and John Turturro appeared in, and they were between 1990 and 2001. Can you tell me what they were?
Okay, this is a complete guess. John Goodman, I don't know John Turturro. John Goodman, I'll take a guess at The Flintstones.
No.
Look, I won't even waste any more time because I don't know. So I'm going to bed now to get up and watch England versus France.
Oh, me
the,
too. That's going to be
World
so
Cup.
Good. Lots of Sorry? Fun. See you. Heather, good evening to you.
Oh, no.
Why?
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
Oh, you've waited all this time and you got a...
I haven't got a clue.
Oh. No Coen Brothers films in your head?
No, I can't even think of anything. Like, the best I can think of is The Producers.
No.
Nah, that's what I thought.
I think that's Mel Brooks.
Yeah, that one.
Sorry. See you.
Night, Libby.
G'day, Tom.
Hello.
Can you help me with this? The three Coen Brothers films that both John Goodman and John Turturro appeared in.
I have an idea on one of them.
Yeah?
Could I just say, Libby, what did the Collingwood supporters say to his 12-year-old daughter?
Okay, do I need to put my finger on a dump button or is it going to be okay?
It's going to be fairly okay.
Okay.
Don't smoke at the kitchen table with all your kids around you.
Now, I'll just put my teeth back in and get on with the with the quiz. Thank you. Tom, you know that Collingwood 90 beat Carlton just 69.
Could I just say, Libby, it's not even the real football. Why don't you watch Australia's largest spectator sport?
What's that? Soccer, are you saying?
Rugby league.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, it's okay. It's okay. But I am
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Moving on. The Big Lebowski. That's the only one I can help you with.
Well, that's good. That's a help. We've got
Thank you. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, bye. Jeez, I wasn't meant to say anything then. Kate in Umina Beach. Hello, Kate. We know The Big Lebowski is one of those three Coen brother films that both John Goodman and John Turturro appeared in. Do you know any of the others?
No, that was the one I thought of too, Libby. But I was going to say that I think I actually met you at one stage. Years ago, about 12 years ago, I went to a Melbourne Cup function, Don't Circular Key. And it was upstairs. I thought you were hosting it.
I might have been.
Yes, and I seem to remember my friend and I were talking about Ellie McPheast to you, and you said, oh, yes, and so I was talking to you about it. So I met you along the way.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing with this kind of public work. Yes, you meet lots of people.
Well, I'd remember you, but you wouldn't remember because naturally you meet so many thousands of people that, you know, you couldn't remember them. But it was lovely meeting you in any way. And I'm sorry, but that's the one I thought
of. The Big Lebowski. Do you mind if I move on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, off I go. You too. Rachel, hello to you.
Hello.
How is Launceston tonight?
Chilly.
Yeah,
silly
question, right?
Yep. 3 degrees is good for here.
Oh, positively warm.
Holy sick, it's better than Canberra.
Yes, I guess so. If we have The Big Lebowski as a Coen brother film that both John Goodman and John Turturro appeared in, can you give me two others?
I'm addicted to the Coen brothers. They would be in the top five filmmakers of all time. It's definitely Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Correct.
Gorgeous George Clooney, and there's, you know, all that singing that they do, the fantastic. But Carter Burwell is their music director for all of their films. Interestingly enough, the older guy writes and directs. The younger guy is married to a now completely gay woman, and she edits all their films. It's amazing. And Barton Fink, which is their most underrated. It's quite well rated, but I reckon the most underrated is The Hudsucker Proxy, where it starts at the beginning of the film and a guy just gets up and, spoiler alert, it's the 1930s, the Depression set in. There's a table of all old men, really octogenarians, and one of them just gets up and he does like a road runner, spins on the spot and then zoom, shoots himself down the table, the very long table, and crashes out the window to plummet to his death because it's the Depression and they're all suiciding. And he has so much time plummeting to the ground that he actually cleans his glasses, his spectacles. It's hilarious. Yeah, great. The Coen brothers.
Okay. So after that, I feel like that's all I need to know about the Coen brothers. So we'll go to the next question.
Hudsucker Proxy. It's a great film.
All right. Actually, I've never really got into them, to tell you the truth. I like
people.
I haven't. I'm going to have to go back. Okay. Which 1979 hit started like this?
Don't say that you love me. Just say that you love me. Just say that you love me.
No, it's not.
What? You're joking.
No, it's not called that.
Well, but that's the song. You said sing the next bit.
No, I didn't. I said, what's its name?
So is it Fleetwood Mac?
Yes, it is. And what's the name of the song?
Just Say That You Love Me. No.
I can't even do the sound.
Oh, no. So what? So I'm not close?
Yes, you are. It is Fleetwood Mac. What is the song?
I just need to turn up.
No, but that's not the name.
Yeah, but you know how it goes. It's just,
but I receive far too many
I'm coming to be complained off for knowing the song but not the actual title.
Oh, well, never mind. Let's see what Joy has to say about this.
Thank you.
Fine. Sam. Harvey, WA. Sam, hello.
Morning. Suzanne, is it?
No, Suzanne's on holiday just for this weekend. Right. It's Libby.
Okay.
You'll have to just make do.
Okay.
Do you know the song name? Do you want me to play it for you again? Yeah.
Okay.
Mel in Canning Vale knows, and so does Paul in North Fitzroy. Right around the country, Ross in Scoresby, Robin in South Plimpton. But do you know, Sam?
Is it called Say That You Love Me?
No.
Nah. That okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
It's not called Say That You Love Me. Might have Say That You Love Me in it, but it's not called that. Dave in Perth, do you know what it's called? Dave, or have you gone to sleep? Waiting. No, Dave. Okay. Roz in South Australia, do you know the name of that song? We know it's Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. I might be wrong, but Tusk. And they had all the drum majors out there stomping around.
They did. And you're right. It is called Tusk.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You got it right. So you get to answer another question if you like.
It took three goes for me, the other people, to hear it. Yeah. Anyway, look, I'll shut up. Okay, next question.
Do you want to sing it to me? Do you want to sing?
No, because... okay, everybody can sing, but not everybody could sing, and I'm in the latter.
Okay, I won't force you. Are you ready for the next question?
I saw Fleetwood Mac in South Australia in the 70s.
Really? That's lucky.
I think it was in 78. Look, I've seen so many bands, but I think it was, around the 70s in South Australia. Maybe wrong, but I know I saw them here.
Here's the next question. Which actor starred in Dead Calm in 1989, Hunt for the Wilder People in 2016?
Oh, Sam Neill.
Yes.
He's my favourite. Hey, I just love that movie. But Crump, that's the guy that wrote it in New Zealand. I've read all his books. Actually, they're playing that on SBS tonight on Channel 30 at 7:30, Hunt for the Wilder People.
That's right, yeah, because unfortunately Sam Neill died this week. And
I know. What a loss. What a gentleman.
Lovely bloke. Great actor.
I know.
Lovely bloke.
Yes.
Now, vale to Sam Neill and condolences to all his friends and family should you be tuned in tonight. We loved him.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yes.
Which long-running TV show, which first aired in 1981, had this as its opening music credit? Are you ready? Make it stop. Why?
Country Practice.
Oh, and do you know who it was written by? Just a bonus question.
No, I don't.
It was Mike Perjanik.
Okay, remember when Molly died?
Oh, the screen went black.
Oh, my God. And then she faded. Hey, my friends had a Molly party.
Oh.
I know. That sounds sick, doesn't it?
It does.
But I know. But she was out in the paddock, and then she went dull and dull. Oh, and
Brendan looked up. Brendan looked up.
Oh yeah, and the children. Oh God,
and the pig. The pig.
Oh, Molly the pig.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on because I'll cry.
It was a moment. Bella, you need to know when Molly died on a country practice, Australia stopped. It was in the days when everybody watched television at the same time, and she was a much-loved television character, and they gave her leukemia, and she was sitting in a chair.
I know.
I'm just telling Bella because she doesn't know what we're talking about when Molly died on a country practice, but I'm telling you, Australia stopped.
Oh, yes. Anyway, let's go on.
Do you remember
when Molly grew potatoes?
No.
And they were too big?
No.
And no one would. Oh, God. Anyway, no. I'll just shut up.
Okay. Here we go. In 2020, Colson Whitehead became one of only four writers to ever win the Pulitzer Prize for fiction twice. In 2017, he won the award for his novel The Underground Railroad. What was the name of the book which won him the Pulitzer Prize for the second time?
Now you got me.
Oh, bummer.
Yes, it's a bummer. But Molly grew big potatoes.
Oh, no, I don't. Tell me the name of the actress who played Molly.
Oh, I can't think of her name. A gorgeous little girl with curly hair.
Anne Tenney.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Hey.
What?
That was then.
That was then. This is now.
TV was then. Now it's all nasty people living on islands and men choosing women and women, whatever, playing themselves off against them. Oh, my God. You know, let's have a wombat.
Okay. Adrian is on the Gold Coast. Hi, Adrian.
Hello there.
Hello, Adrian. Do you know your Pulitzer Prize winners?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you're a tease. You are a tease. Shall I even bother asking the question? Or?
Well, yeah, please do.
In 2020, Colson Whitehead became one of only four writers to ever win the Pulitzer Prize for fiction twice. In 2017, he won the award for his novel, The Underground Railroad. What was the name of the book which won him the Pulitzer for a second time?
I Can Jump Puddles.
No, it wasn't. That's Alan Marshall. Sorry, I don't mean to be impatient, but no, it wasn't.
Not to worry. You got me on a bad question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to do another one?
It's not your fault.
Oh, no, I feel...
I Can Only Jump Puddles.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
No, I'm really sorry. I've spoilt your whole night.
Oh, not at all. Hey, us coasties, you know, the weather up here is always magnificent. We're very fortunate.
Okay. All right.
On the Gold Coast.
Yeah, don't need to rub it in. Thank you. Bye.
No, I didn't mean that.
No, it's okay. Tess?
Oh, hello. Hello.
Your turn.
Yeah, oh, at last. I've just been celebrating my birthday and I tuned in and I've kind of known most of them up to now.
Mm.
And I, yes, as always happens, but I might know this one. Was it the Nickel Boys?
It was the Nickel Boys. The Nickel Boys. And the other three writers who have won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction twice are Booth Tarkington, William Faulkner and John Updike. So, Eric, if you're listening and you want to memorise those, because I know you've got one of those steel-trap memories, hope that went in. Shall we go on, Tess?
Yeah.
You get to sing again.
Oh, dear. Right.
Yeah, it's another sing-along.
If I know. I'm old, so, you know, if it's an old song, I may know it. If it's a newer song, maybe not. But anyway, let's see.
Are there any newer songs on Weekend Nightlife?
Probably not that many.
I don't think so. Okay.
No.
When the music cuts out, the rules are I need you to sing the next couple of lines for me. Okay, here we go.
Trying hard to understand, but really not you see me. Trying hard to understand, but really not you see me. see the real thing, come and see. I am the real thing.
Na na, maybe na na.
Very good. You got to do two more know. For me. Yeah, one more.
Yeah. Ooh, na na na.
Very good. This is the answer. The Real Thing, Russell Morrison, The Real Thing, produced by Johnny Young, actually.
Yeah, wasn't didn't Molly Meldrum have something to do with that?
Yeah, he
did.
He was a Yeah, he produced it as well. I must look that up. I know that both of them were involved, Molly Meldrum and John Young, but I can't remember who what. But anyway, it's The Real Thing by Russell Morris, who's still is. Wonderful with his blues stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yep.
At this year's Tony Awards held in June, which Broadway musical earned 12 nominations and won the Best Play Award?
Not really big on musicals. Probably won't know this. Trying to think of a new musical this would be, wouldn't it?
Yes. Mm. Its playwright actually won the 2026 Pulitzer Prize for Drama for this same show. Yeah.
Mm. No, I don't think I know that. Can't help you with that one.
Okay, here we go. I have to move on. I'm sorry, are you okay?
All right, that's fine. Thank you.
Oh, produced by Molly Meldrum, Andrew says. It was produced by Molly Meldrum, so... Andrew, send me a text. What did Johnny Young have to do with it? Because I know Johnny Young was involved as well. Did he write it?
And maybe one of them wrote it. That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
So Molly produced it, Russell Morris sang it, and I am thinking, Andrew, someone will look it up and send me a text. I think that means John Young wrote it. Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
Bye.
Adrian. Hello, Adrian.
Hello.
It's you. I know. It feels like you've been waiting forever, but it's actually you on the radio now. Have I done you already? Are you still? Oh,
I don't know. It might be a connection thing.
Oh, do you mind if I move on? Because I think you've already been on and I'll get in so much trouble.
Sorry, was it a connection thing?
Okay. See ya. Hey, Karen.
Oh, how did you help? And can I thank you for reminding me about how much I love watching you on television? Sorry, I've got a cold.
That's all right. That's cough it up, doll.
Yeah. the cold's not doing famously.
Oh, what are you doing to fix it?
Oh, I've got black elderberry, goodness knows, whatever else.
Yeah, throw it all in. Bit of honey.
That's it. Drops it all in and see how it works out.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I do apologise for the voice.
It's all right. Not a problem. I apologise for the question because I don't know whether you'll know it. At this year's Tony Awards, though I'm sure people are Googling as we speak, at this year's Tony Awards held in June, which Broadway musical earned 12 nominations and won the best? Pardon?
I'm actually into musicals.
Do you know the answer?
I think it might be something called Schmigelon.
What?
Schmigelon? Excuse me. Sorry.
Schmoozon?
Yeah.
No. Nah. Sorry. It's not.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought they won the Tony Award this year.
Well, it didn't win Best Play Award because the one that won Best Play looks very, very interesting. I've actually seen other people attempt to do a similar thing. It's actually a drama about a group of women who reunite decades after participating in a 1970s feminist consciousness raising group. But I can't give you that clue because Philip.
Before you go off air, may I please have just 2 seconds?
Yes.
I went to the ABC Open Day for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
And I want to absolutely positively thank and send kindness and gratitude and everything else to all the team at ABC Brisbane who put together the open day today.
Was it good?
Oh, my God, that was just amazing.
What made it so good?
They, for people, I've been there before, but for people who have not been there before, it helped them understand how radio broadcasting works. So, like, I guess the person who's the breakfast presenter here in ABC Brisbane, and by the way, I was in Adelaide, Melbourne, and elsewhere, and Sydney, he explained things like switching to the news, how intricate it is for you.
Hmm. Yes, like, the timing.
Yes,
oh, my gosh,
it.
The that's timing. It. I have to go because the news is coming up in 7 minutes.
It. That's it.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
See you. I got to go or so I'll never get through all this and then I'll just get so in trouble. Bye.
Love you.
Colin.
Hello, Libby. It's Colin.
I How know it's Colin. Lovely to speak with you, Colin. Do you know the name of this play?
No, not really. Could it be the left-handed toothbrush? That's about as close as I can think of.
No, the left-handed toothbrush. No, I don't even think of it. Great right, try.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
See
Have
you.
A good evening.
Bye. Hi, Kingsley.
Yes, hello, Libby.
Do you know the answer to this question?
I think I do. Well, I'm not sure. It's one of two.
Mm.
But first of all, I have a tribute about Molly Meldrum and Tusk. That's why I rang up Tusk.
Right.
Molly initially said he didn't like it, and I was blown away by that. I mean, you're kidding me, because I bought the 45. That's how old I am.
Right.
And he said, the more I listened to it, the more I liked it.
Mm,
so
groaning.
He validated my purchasing the 45.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay, my choice is Book of Mormons.
No, it's not Book of Mormons. I am very, very sorry. It is not. I don't think we're up to question 13, but we've got 5 more minutes of the quiz because we've got a lot to get through in the next hour. Scott, hi.
Hello.
Ed from Perth knows. Did you look it up, Ed? I wonder. Tell me, Scott.
I've got no idea. I had time to Google it, and many have, but I didn't, and... the hint, well, it wasn't a hint, but I know it was, it might have something to do with the suffragette movement, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got no idea. I'm not into the theatre.
Oh, well, isn't
you,
that...
you love this because I like rugby league. So.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go. So I'm in the theatre, but I like rugby league, not rugby union, rugby league.
I like rugby league. It's got a lot of buff in it. Sometimes you just need that pure aggression, don't you?
Oh, it's not pure aggression. It's just, I don't know, it's all the rules, what happens on the field. So it's like, I don't know, with Aussie rules, you play AFL and they jump and they smash into each other. There's no, there's no love.
Yeah, I actually heard Aussie rules referred to as, it's not a contact sport anymore. They call it a collision sport, which I thought was really interesting. Lovely to meet you. I've got to move on. Brian, hello.
Hi.
Can you help me with this, the Tony Awards? It was a Broadway musical. It earned 12 nominations and it won the Best Play Award.
No, I can't really.
My name is a hint. It's a drama about a group of women who reunite decades after participating in a 1970s feminist consciousness-raising group, and it explores how ideals from the second wave feminist movement have evolved, what's changed, what hasn't across generations, and My Name is a Hint. No?
No, I've gone... and I'm not much used on musical questions either because I was declared at an early age tone deaf.
Oh, never mind. At least we gave it a shot. I'm sorry you got one that isn't up your alley. Joe, can you help?
Could it be Oklahoma?
No, it's not Oklahoma. Ian in Barara, can you help me with this?
So, Libby,
yeah,
we're going to have a little bit of guess, but
Can't. You can't. The news is coming.
Death of a Salesman?
No. Sorry. Richard's in Wollongong. Richard?
Libby, liberation. Yes! I'll put you out of your misery.
You got it. I'm so glad. All right.
I didn't know until the clues came and then the suffragette thing sort of thought, oh, what, you know, there you go.
There you go. You got it. I'm so glad you worked it out. And we're going to. It is time now for The Guys to Shine. Name this classic villain played by Hugo Weaving. Stand by. Stand by, stand by, and action. It's a classic villain played by, oh, I see, that was meant to go first, so that's not much of a, here you go, this is the hint.
You ever stood and stared at it, marveled at its beauty, its genius? Billions of people just living out their lives. Oblivious.
That's Hugo Weaving. He's in a classic movie. What is his character?
It would have been funny if it was Michael Jackson, wouldn't it?
It would have. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll just say Lex Luthor.
No, it's not Lex Luthor.
All right, sorry.
It's okay. You too, Nicole. Nicole.
I was afraid you were going to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of kind of thinking it maybe. I can't remember the character's name though. Oh.
Got a bit of it for someone else?
Any clues by any chance?
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I haven't seen it.
What? But, you haven't seen what?
The movie. But I know he played, is it Elrond or something like that from, The Lord of the Rings?
No, sorry.
No.
Okay.
Might be the other one.
We have to stop now and come back after the news for this one last question. Who will be my lucky last person who knows what that Hugo Weaving role is? This is the Pop Quiz, and we are heading ourselves up to the last question, waiting to see if there is someone that can answer it. And who is going to be my person that I am going to ask to see if we can round it off? I will say it's going to be Grant in Waterloo. Grant, hello.
Libby, hi.
Hi.
I'll try to give you the answer so I know it doesn't hold up anyone. Is it something like Agent Smith out of the Matrix movies?
Yes, it is. Did you look that up or did you know?
No.
You knew?
Let's put it this way. No, I didn't look.
You win.
No, I don't really know. I've never seen one of the Matrix movies right through to the end. Even the first one. I haven't actually taken the time to actually see the entire thing, but I just knew he was called Agent Smith, which makes sense. So Smith's also a common thing that, 1984, I think, is in the bad guy Smith, known as Winston Smith or
well,
something.
Well, you know, and in Lost in Space there was Dr. Smith. It's interesting, isn't it?
The pain.
All right. Well, I shall do this and do that, and you shall win yourself a magnet. How lovely. Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
A little about you. It's like, I'm supposed to be ecstatic, but I have won once, but people are out there going, I've never won one. And he's not taking it seriously. But anyway, maybe you better put me off air before I get,
Okay, bye. There you go. It's just when people tell you who they are or what's going to happen. You have to believe them. If they say, you know, I think you better take me off air, then you really should. And congratulations, Grant. You are on hold and Bella will sort you out with your magnet.